This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to your Sunday night with Speed City. This is John Massengill sitting in the studio in Austin. And I'm joined by my cohorts, Les Kaiser and Jonathan Green. Les Kaiser, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Everybody finish up those turkey leftovers?
What about you, Mr. Green? How are you?
Did I miss Christmas?
No, Les is still going back to Thanksgiving, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gosh, I mean, I was sleeping heavily, but I didn't realize. Okay, good.
I've already thrown out the turkey leftovers, Les, about a week ago.
Yeah, I did too.
We've already gone into the gutter already. All right, hey, everybody, we got a great show tonight. We are going to recap a lot of the 2020 F1 season. It was really a pretty surprisingly great F1 season. We're going to talk a lot about that. And we've got some clips, a lot of clips from Gunther Steiner, because we've had him on the show, I don't know, 3 or 4 times this year, including right before the Australian Grand Prix got canceled a day before. And so we got those clips. We also have a clip from Yuki Tsunoda, the newest, or one of the newest F1 drivers, probably the newest Japanese driver since Kobayashi. So we got a clip from him, and we got lots to talk about. We're going to talk about our favorite races, talk about how the drivers did head-to-head. We're going to talk all about the Formula One season. And, you know, we got to realize that we were lucky to have a season. I guess most sports figured out a way to do it. Not all of them, but most sports figured out a way. And racing figured out a way to do it pretty good. I think NASCAR led the way. Wouldn't you agree that NASCAR led the way, Jonathan?
Yeah, I have to say, when you really, you know, I mean, it feels like this year has been 4 years in one because it's been so long with everybody staying at home. Yeah, if you go back to what was it, effectively June, really.
We lost Jonathan, but
we were all kind of sure that it
was. He was just saying.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just lost you for a second, Jonathan. Go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR were the first to jump into the fire, as it were, which was risky at the time because no one was, NFL, baseball, nothing. And they did it, and they did it effectively, and they got all the way to a chase, and they got a new champion in Chase Elliott. Incredible. And I think, to be honest, Formula One, IndyCar, and many other motorsports followed suit, including Trans Am, which I was involved in. And so I take my hat off to what NASCAR did and how bold they were with Steve Phelps taking that jump before anybody else and doing it well. I mean, Jimmy Johnson was a noted person for getting COVID, but he missed one race. So yeah. pretty darn good.
Well, and, you know, right before we actually got started with all the racing, let's not forget, we had some really interesting online racing. We had e-racing in Indy and then the virtual Grand Prix in Formula One. And then you had all kinds of different series, and like you were involved in Trans Am, they did online racing. And really what came out of that in my mind is how we had some of these young drivers like Lando Norris and Charles Leclerc and George Russell, particularly, who really shined in those virtual Grand Prix, but also showed us some of their personality and gained some confidence. And I'm thinking George Russell, remember how good he did? In fact, I think Russell won the virtual championship. It was a little, you know, some of the drivers didn't make all the races, but still, George Russell won the championship, and look how well he did. Look at the confidence that he gained. So I think that was part of this season, and I think it made a big difference. We got to see their personalities, particularly Lando Norris, who was just a superstar online. And, you know, some of the other drivers outside Formula One, like we saw Connor Daly, who had already been pretty active online in racing. We got to see his rig that he had, which included, I think, a lawn chair and probably a 10-year-old Xbox. But it was fun watching all that and seeing how all the drivers did. You know, some of the drivers had $10,000, $20,000 rigs, and it was fun to watch all that. But that was a big part of the season, too. Did Les, I know you got into that. Did you enjoy that part of it as well?
I did. For one, you know, the technology that's involved nowadays and even these gaming systems is pretty serious stuff. They've really come a long ways in the past 10 years. And the fact that the drivers are saying this is a legitimate training tool for us and it's great for practicing. Certainly, you know, has its limitations, but the fact that they're seeing value of it at these top elite levels is really some accolades for the gaming industry nowadays.
Yeah, and go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Les. I think two things stand out to me. One was we did get to see these personalities much more than we ever do at a race weekend, especially people like Lando Norris and Connor Daly and so on. And I'm really that excited me. But as Les said, you know, we got to see the practicality of these gamers. And for people who may not have really understood how simulators work and how close these games are, I mean, just to sort of round it all off, Codemasters, which makes the Formula One game, the current Formula One game, and has done for many years, has just been bought by EA Sports here in Austin. And, you know, it just shows you, and a multi-million dollar deal too. So, you know, the games that are out there and PlayStation and Xbox and so on, yeah, they're a lot of fun, but they're also a real tool.
Yeah, they're absolutely a real tool. And I even set up a rig of my own this year so I could get on the tracks and learn some of the tracks as we had new tracks and everything this season.
Look at you using the fancy words like the young kids.
Yeah, man, I got my GTX 1060 video card and some other good, cool gear that I got handed down from my gamer son as he went bleeding edge. So, but yeah,
can I play my Nintendo ping pong on that?
You can, actually. You can. But let's talk about the season. We didn't get started until what, July 5th in Austria. And we had two rounds in Austria. We had the 5th and then the 12th, which is what found, you know, Formula One did what they had to do. They announced our first, remember this, they announced 10 races, including back-to-backs like that at the same circuits. And that actually worked out pretty good. Most of the season when we did that, it worked out really good. And, you know, as we move forward through the season, I had some of my favorite races. Like, remember early in the season when Hamilton won the British Grand Prix on three tires? Remember?
Yeah.
With Verstappen chasing him down?
That was fun.
And,
you know what, John?
Yeah.
I also like the unpreparedness of the fact that you hit the ground running. And that's true of NASCAR and of IndyCar and Formula One. It just added a little element of surprise that you weren't 100% sure whether, you know, everybody was going to come to the table as prepared as normal because of the fact that they were all living in these bubbles and having to, you know, get their last minute and so on and so forth. So it actually shook things up a little bit. And even though if you look at the results of the final table, it doesn't look any different than a lot of other seasons. It was an enthralling season because of that.
Yep. And, you know, we had 13 different podium finishers in 2020 over 17 races. So that's, I mean, considering the last couple of years, I'll take that all day long. Going through the season a little bit, some of the races that caught my eye, of course, we had early on, Gasly is what I was thinking of. The Italian Grand Prix when Gasly won at Monza. Remember that race?
Yeah.
And that was a huge deal for Gasly. You know, we had, two people, Gasly and Sergio Perez, win their first races in their career this year. Remember the Tuscan Grand Prix? Remember 8 cars didn't finish the race? I remember my son called me. He didn't watch it live, but he called me and he said, I just pulled up the standings. He goes, what the heck happened? How did 8 cars not finish the race? There were so many good. But what about you guys? Those are some of my favorites. What about you, Les?
You know, I'm going to say it's more the destination. Seeing Turkey again on the calendar, some of these things like that, you know, gosh, I really wanted to see Zandvoort there, but I like shaking it up and seeing the different sites come onto the calendar. And you know, when we had Bob Varsha on, you know, he brought it up how cool it would be to have a one-off race once a year that there's kind of a wild card, if you will, of maybe a track these guys didn't know inside out already and get to go race. I think that would be a fantastic idea for a season.
Yeah, and I have to agree with Bobby Epstein, who said that what he liked about 2020 was just that, Les, which was these permanent circuits that are available but don't get a look in or haven't got a look in, Portimao, Imola, Mugello, and created some of the best racing we've seen at places, as you say, that don't have all the testing. Turkey, great to have back. I guess it gives a headache to those promoters who want to be part of Formula One, but it helps Liberty open it up to, you know, have more opportunities. My biggest thing from my takeaway from 2020 was what I hoped would happen, which was the inter-team battles I thought were great. Especially, I mean, Bottas was definitely much closer to Hamilton than he's been in a long time. You know, obviously it finished off with Albon, will he, won't he stay? And in the end, they decided to take Perez, but it was, you know, not a big surprise. But I thought the Sainz versus Norris battle at McLaren was fantastic. You know, even the Vettel-Leclerc thing. I mean, that was a changing of the guard. There's no question that Leclerc basically said, I'm the future, and proved it. So there was a lot. There was a lot of inter-team battles that I thought were really interesting on a personal level.
Yeah, you know, you just picked out one of my favorites, of course, Leclerc and Vettel. And, you know, qualifying, Leclerc had 13-4 over Vettel, finished 10 times ahead to 3.
That's a lot.
Yeah, 198 points to 33 points. And here's a really interesting one. He led 585 laps ahead of to 215 for Sebastian Vettel. So, I mean, just
compare that to Norris 19 and Sainz 18 over 2 years.
Yeah, that's such a good one, isn't it? You know,
that's how close those two were.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what about, you know, one that I wanted to look at was, here it is, Perez versus Stroll, because,
yeah,
you know, think about that. That's a good one, right? So qualifying, Perez 10-4 over Lance Stroll, finished 4-4, and share of points, Perez 113-65, but laps ahead, Lance Stroll 366-267. You know, if you just look at some of those numbers, you'd think that that Lance Stroll got dominated, but he really didn't. I mean, he did, but he didn't, and he had some high points and he had some definite low points in the season. But hey, guys, looked up. Looking at the clock. We need to take a break. And let's go ahead and do that. When we come back, we're going to continue our breakdown. And remember, we got some great clips from Gunther Steiner and Yuki Tsunoda. You're listening to Speed City live in Austin, Texas. Back after a quick break.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hello to everyone, this is Gunther Steiner, this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
You can call in and join the fun if you want. We want to hear from you, 512-643-5483, 512-643-LIVE. And we were breaking down the Formula One season. I think I want to play some clips. We've got some clips that we had that from our interviews with Gunther Steiner. You know, guys, you realize we have three full seasons of Formula One pre- and post-race shows behind us. I was thinking about it this show. I was like, was it two or three? So we're going to do our fourth season of pre-race and post-race with the BBC in between. You go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to listen to that. But I want to start with some of these clips from Gunther, because I think, you know, Jonathan, we were talking about these clips, and I think that the one that I want to start with is Gunther Steiner on Kevin Magnussen. We've got some on Mazepin, and we've got a nice long one that talks about all the different, you know, all the different young drivers. But I want to start with this one on Kevin Magnussen, because I thought it was a really interesting clip. So let's go ahead and play that one now.
Yeah, I was interested to see, you know, with all these young people, they're naturally quick straight out of the box. That's why you choose them. But also sometimes they need, a hand on their shoulder just to keep them in the right place at the right time. And I just wondered whether you had any thoughts on, one of the two guys that have been pivotal to the team sticking around or helping out, or is that sort of not something you'd be thinking of?
Yeah, no, actually, Kevin came up to me the last race and said, hey, if you need any help, I'm more than willing to come, because there's a lot of small tricks in Formula One. If I can give them to the young guys, you guys have been good with me. I want to be good with you. So we started to look into it, because he announced, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, that he's going to IMSA racing with Chip next year in a Cadillac. So when there is time, but he said he would love to come to the test. As well, you know, but he will help us out. But he offered it up himself, you know, so, which is, I think, more than you can ask for, you know. That shows how committed he is to the team. He said, I have no problem to come and help you, you know. So I said, I think I will pick him up on that one, just to give the new young guys, because he has been with the team for 4 years, or a little bit of maybe a faster start with some tricks he learned over these 4 years.
Yeah, Jonathan, you wanted to play that one. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's significant, because it's a significant story. You know, the choice that Haas made, and it is one of the biggest stories of the year, is that they've gone with two complete novices, albeit very experienced drivers in F2, including the champion Mick Schumacher, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But they've gone from two very experienced Formula One drivers to guys who've never driven in Formula One. That was, everybody said, what a risk. Everybody said how crazy that is, and how do you, and Gunther, you know, we've got another clip where he explains why they chose those guys. But what I think is significant is it changes the game if you can genuinely get Kevin to be there for the weekend and advise these guys on protocol and things to look out for, and you know, just systems checks that he would know like the back of his hand. That will move these guys forward, and they've got a year of proving before these new regulations come in. So suddenly this decision to go with two novices now looks a lot more palatable.
Yeah. And I love the fact that, you know, Gunther said it was his idea, and we're going to play that clip here in a minute. But, well, you know, I was thinking about the way Gunther went about this, and I mean, it was a horrible season if you really break it down for Haas F1. And I think he was at that point going, look, I don't really see how it's going to get a whole lot better next year. And we might as well get some of these young guys in and get some, you know, get some time under their belt. But, well, why don't we, let's hear one more from Günther Steiner, because I want to play this one. This is Günther Steiner talking about Fittipaldi stepping in, who did a fantastic job. And then I want to talk about how he did. So let's hear from Günther Steiner and Fittipaldi. Hold on, we're having a little trouble with that file. So, well, why don't we talk about how he did, though? I mean, guys, he did, in my mind, considering what's going on with Mazepin right now, the way there's been some more news about him, how he now deleted his apology. He did such a great job. But let's hear it from Günther Steiner. We got this clip ready.
As I said, these young guys, they come so quick up to speed. Once you give them a car and a little bit the computer with data on, they move forward pretty well, you know. And as you said, having a Fittipaldi back, I mean, his grandfather was a double world champion. So, and I would say if you hear him talk, you can hear that he spent a lot of time in America, even if he drives with a Brazilian license. You know, I mean, he lives in Davidson, in North Carolina. He doesn't live so far from me. It's only 20 minutes from my house. So, you know, it's like it's good to have him here because we had him around all year with us because of COVID. The risk was bigger that one of our drivers could get it, and we need a reserve driver. So he traveled around the whole year with us at each race. And it must be quite boring just to wait of something going wrong. And then the last three races, he asked me, "Gunther, should I really go the 3 weeks away? Because we are not allowed to leave. We need always to stay this week, 3 weeks together." I said, "If the chances are, if there is any chance that you get in the car, it will be there because we are away 3 weeks, three races in a row, and nobody else can get in." So he came, and you know, and here comes his opportunity. I mean, which is, you know, in all the mess we are in the moment, all the headlights we make, it's quite good news. We give a young guy with a big name an opportunity at least to show what he can do in an F1 car, which is, I think, his dream coming true.
Hey, well, Günther, I don't know if you, I don't know. I know your negotiating skills are second to none. So I'm sure maybe this isn't well known, but you did a twofer deal, right? You got Enzo as well, the other Fittipaldi?
No, not yet. I mean, I don't know what Enzo is doing next year. I mean, I think they didn't know really, but yeah, there is two of them. You know, there's you get two for the price of one. You know,
yeah.
I think their father Google would be okay with that. You know.
Yeah, that would have been nice, Jonathan.
Well, and in all seriousness, for those who don't know, Enzo Enzo Fittipaldi is in Formula 3. And as if you remember, we had them both on the show earlier in the season when they were going back from Hungary. But he too is evidently just as good. But yeah, you want my impression? Really impressed with Pietro.
Okay, if you're Günther, would you consider Fittipaldi instead of Mazepin? Now, I know this is a giant conversation because we don't know about the money and all the other things, but what do you, I mean, driver to driver, would you consider him?
You know what? I was going to wait till Les, you know, got in on this, but you've asked the question. You know what? After what's happened with Mazepin, forget the money. Gene can suck it up. And I say, put a Fittipaldi in the car. The American race fans know exactly that name. He's a good kid. He was born in Miami. He's the American we've been waiting for. And after eight months without driving anything, after breaking his legs, look what he did. He was brilliant. He's polite. He's the team like him. He, you know, I say, poke Mazepin, get him out of the way, and let's have Schumacher, Fittipaldi. Now, there's a lineup that will bring Haas forward regardless of the results in 2021.
Yeah.
Game on. I agree. I'd love to see him there instead of Mazepin now that the off-track antics have come into play. It's just not what we want, you know, regardless. Is there money behind it? There's money behind it. And unfortunately, that may be what's really coming into play in this. We know Gene is, you know, reconsidering his budgetary situation, and he's in for another 5 years, but he doesn't have all the money in the world. And so he's not up to be in that Formula One, get out of the 1.5, as he called it. I'd really question Mazepin as a driver against Fittipaldi.
Les, we also talked a little bit about, we had a caller call in during the season, and you talked about this when we were on our pre-show call about the Russian side of it. I mean, you know, with all the Russian stuff and the news and everything, you talked about that.
You know, as a business, which we know Gene does well, I quite honestly questioned that he got somebody that was Russian on the American team right now. And that is not necessarily to do with what's on the track, but what's going on culturally between the countries, socially amongst the borders of the United States. I do question that. And, you know, I worry about the riskiness. You know, it's sometimes difficult to do business in Russia. Things of that nature, all of that can come in to be a problem for Gene, or at least complicate a lot of things for Gene. What do you think, Jonathan? You deal with a lot of the international crowd in some of the countries that don't flow as easy as the Americans and UK.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I don't think there's any stigma of having a Russian driver. There's been Russian drivers around for a while. But I think I hope that Gene Haas has done a straight deal for the seat only. And we did discover in our interview with Gunter that that is the case, or we think it's the case, because I asked him directly if they were going to do a racing point where, you know, it was a sort of investment in the team to bring his son into that team as he did in Racing Point from Williams. So, you know, but that's not the plan, because my concern is, you're absolutely right, Les. I couldn't agree more. Forget the ideologies, dealing with Russian businesses and Russian money, as is the same with Chinese money and businesses, is no mean feat for a Western company or a company based here. And so I hope it's a straight deal for the seat and not, you know, mixed up in sponsorship and so on, because that would, I think that will prove to be tough. And they've already had some embarrassment with Rich, you know, with Rich Energy, and they don't need that going forward.
Yeah. And two things. One, I think if it were just a young Russian kid that had battled his way and earned a seat, great. Nobody ever is going to have any problem with that. But with this, with the money involved and where that money comes from, what kind of company is it? It's just, you know, I just don't know. And you said it, Jonathan, I don't want another Rich Energy disaster. And right out of the box, Mazepin, you know, grabs the girl and causes a problem, posts it on social media. And
hey, some people might not be aware of what happened. Why don't we tell that story?
Yeah. And so essentially, they were in a car. Mazepin and a girl. Apparently it was a friend of his, or supposedly. And he grabbed her chest, and then it got posted on his Instagram. Apparently it was posted by her, is what it all looked like, you know, but you don't know the whole story. And it's just, this is just
not a good look either way.
Yeah, no matter what. And then he apologized for it. And then this week he deleted the apology. So it's like, oh, come on. We just, you know, I felt like last year with the Rich Energy that it was kind of, you know, we kind of look like a laughing stock a little bit, because it was so embarrassing, because the guy was a bonehead, the CEO, and it just looked bad. And I just don't want to have that again. And, you know, I think you've got Fittipaldi. We had him on the show. He was so great, so mature, and he never missed a step behind the wheel. So it was all good. But guys, we need to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to play that clip from Gunther. That's a long clip, and it talks all about this. So stay tuned with us, and we'll be back after a quick break.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hey, Jonathan, why don't you set up this clip a little bit with Gunther? You cut it up for me and set this up and, like, when we got it and what he's about to talk about.
About Mazepam?
Yeah. Well, the long clip. Yeah, it's got Mazepam and everything else in it.
The long clip, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, we got Gunther on at a time. Well, obviously, we actually got him on.
Oh, we got in trouble with Jonathan's mic on Zoom.
But the second half of the interview with him, we talked to him about the decision to both pick Schumacher and Mazepin. And he was very honest, and we got the real inside story, which is it was Gunther's idea, and he sold it basically to Gene Haas to do something different. And he said, you know, even in the time of Dave O'Neill, you know, they, if you remember back when they chose Grosjean, when they chose Magnussen the second year, you know, they've always been a little bit quirky, and Gunther's big part of that, and I think we've seen that in Drive to Survive. So I put it straight to him, you know, why, you know, what was the choice in having those two young drivers?
All right, hold on, man, this new COVID age of technology, trying to get Zoom and everything else going. All right, we got the clip ready. Let's go.
Gunther, I got a question, and I guess it's too early to be definitive on it, but you in another interview with Sky were talking about how you and Gene are now looking to spread out and look for sponsorship and look to kind of, you know, bolster the money you can spend. The move with Nikita, obviously he's a good driver, but he obviously comes from a wealthy background. Could you see an opportunity for Dimitri to get involved the same way that Lawrence Stroll did in Formula One with Gene?
No, not at the moment. G decided a few months ago when we re-signed the commercial agreement that he wants to keep the F1 team. So I think at the moment, Gene is pretty happy with how we are conducting business and how we do it. What he's not happy with, obviously, is our performance. But we will get that one back, to be honest. We worked hard on it. We got a little bit put back last year. Our car wasn't good enough. This year, we have got the pandemic, the engine is not the strongest one, we stopped development, so we know why we are where we are. It doesn't mean that we can get it fixed quick, but my aim is to fix it for 22 to be back to a form better or similar to 2018. So but in the moment Gene wants to keep the team to himself.
And just to explain, John, what I meant by that, Dmitry Mazepan is a wealthy businessman from Russia. And I wondered if the model was similar to what Lance Stroll did, which was his son, Lawrence Stroll did with Lance. And obviously Lance was at Williams and the pair of them went lock, stock and barrel effectively to Racing Point. He bought the team and put his son in there. They had Perez there and now they'll have Vettel. So the model I was alluding to was, could Dmitry Mazepan play a similar role with Gene Haas? And I think the answer was clear.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I want to play one more Gunther clip. And this one goes into the full, you know, all the talking about all the young drivers and how they end up with a lot of these decisions. So here's Gunther Steiner again.
Yeah, they have children, you know. They could be my children, you know. They're early 20s, so... I think this year when it was like, what are we going to do? How we go forward? How is Haas F1 going forward? At some stage, it came to me that we need to make a change. We cannot keep on doing always the same, doing more of the same. You know, just get a little bit of refreshing into it. And also financially, you know, where do you put your efforts and your resources, you know, financially and people-wise. So I came up with the idea, you know, we should change drivers, maybe go to two young drivers, because next year will be a transitional year, because next year the cars from this year will be reused, because because of the pandemic there was we had shutdowns and we didn't want to develop new cars for financial reason and timing wise reasons. So I think next year is a good year to make that transition. And if you want two new drivers, I was in the opinion that we should get them now, so they are ready for 22 when the new regulations come out. At that stage said, hey, we have been always said we want experience. You know, we are known to do things sometimes a little bit different, and Dave was part of that one as well. And they're all surprised, you know, the people which are in it along, why you do not more of the same like everybody else. You know, sometimes you have to experiment a little bit, and that is what we like to do. So I went to Gene with the idea. I said, hey, Gene, how about if we go forward a different way, you know? And for sure, you know, Gene likes his stability and everything. So it was, I wouldn't say skeptical, but a little bit, it took him some time. And I explained him the pros, and I explained him also the cons, because there is also things which can go wrong. And we know that there is a risk with anything you change. And then we decided, let's do it. And then we looked at Formula 2 and see who is good. Formula 2 this year, it's a very competitive year. It's not as competitive this year. There are a lot of good drivers there. We looked them up, and I spoke with a few of them, and Nikita has got some sponsors behind him. Then I went to speak with Ferrari about who they had, because they have five drivers this year in Formula 2. Almost a quarter of the field is theirs. And then we started to look at who is the best, or who should make the next step, because it's not only being the best, who is the most mature as well. And I think it was going back and forward a little bit. And then they decided it was Schumacher. And I mean, obviously, he's leading the F2 championship, and he carries a name which in Formula 1 is legendary, you know. So there is no negatives. He seems to be fast, for sure. He needs to show it in an F1 car. But his determination, I never worked with, I was never privileged to work with his father. I knew his father not very well, I must admit. But everybody who worked with him still thinks praises about him. I think his work ethic is very similar to his father. He's very focused. He wants to be here. He doesn't want to be here because he's Schumacher. He wants to be here to win championships and be the best. You know, that is a thing which I like with him. And Nikita as well wants to show to the world that he's here for the right reason, you know. So I think we will have some good moments, some bad moments, like you always have with children, you know. So there will be highs and lows, but we will navigate through that one and actually look really forward to it, and especially after having had Pietro Fittipaldi in the car today to replace Romain. It is like work with a young driver. I mean, just see how they develop and how switched on they are these days. It's quite amazing. It's like, I mean, Pietro wasn't in a, I think he wasn't in a race car for a year now, never mind an F1 car, and how quick they pick it up. It's quite amazing, you know. It is astonishing to me. I mean, we have done just 2-3 practices, to be honest, but I think he's in a good path, you know. So I'm not afraid of the challenge.
Yeah. Hey, Jonathan, you know, what do you think about this, you know, these drivers? You know, you don't really get a chance in F1 to walk in without the weight of the team on you a lot of times.
Well, to be honest, that I think is the most exciting part. If we've delved into why, but think about it from the driver's point of view, like you say, you know, once you get to Formula One, look at Yuki Tsunoda. He's the other one we're going to talk about in a moment, but and look at Lance Stroll's first year. I mean, you know, you don't get a lot of time, and of course Albon. You know, and then what's happened to Kvyat and Gasly in the past. So, you know, get many second chances in Formula One. And the fact that they both got a year with some help and some tutelage from Magnussen and no expectations because of 2022, because they know the car is not that great and they're not going to move it forward dramatically. I really think it's a huge opportunity for both drivers to you know, wet their feet and you know, get comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Come in, no pressure. It's unheard of, really, in Formula One to come in with almost no pressure, because especially as a young driver stepping up like this, it's really, really crazy. You know, we haven't even talked about tonight. I know, because it's not really been a big surprise. It feels like we've known about it forever. But of course, Checo Perez going to Red Bull, and Albon's, you know, that's the thing. Albon is as a reserve. I mean, I guess what would you do? What would you, if you were Albon? I mean, I guess your obvious thing is to stay where you are, and you're, you know. But if you had opportunities, would you jump, Jonathan?
If I were Albon, I'd be on the phone to Gunther saying I'm a better option than Mazepin or some other team.
There you go. What do you think, Les?
Are you kidding? I'm calling Gunther.
Well, look at that experience. I mean, you know, what Albon's such a nice guy, as we've all met him. He's a lovely guy, and Mick could do with some help. He's got Red Bull's knowledge behind him. He's going to be a reserve driver for Red Bull. But it, you know, I mean, it's almost a pat to nowhere, because, you know, there's a whole bunch of Red Bull juniors coming up through Formula Two. You know, Liam Lawson, I've mentioned before, Yuki Tsunoda, you know, is another Red Bull junior. You know, and then you've got the drivers for AlphaTauri as well. So it's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned, John, about a season without judgment for drivers. You're right. No such thing. But you think about it. This is either a chance that nobody's expecting anybody to do any good with all these car changes, owner changes, team changes, personnel amongst the team, not just the driver. But then the ones that are going to hit it and knock it out of the park are going to just be rock stars. And, you know, there's one that always adapts really well, and that's Adrian Newey. I got to say, Checo going to Red Bull to be near Christian and Adrian is kind of the weapon that I think a lot of people aren't thinking about. That combination is so good at a time of change. Now that these are people changing, I mean, yes, we've got some rules that are changing. I mean, aerodynamics and things like that, but, you know, aero changes, there's going to be less downforce. They were trying to reduce, FIA was trying to reduce downforce by 10% to increase the life of the tires, to make things a little more edgy, all of that kind of thing. Newey is the guy that I'd want on my side of the table when we start looking at screwing with aero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you're spot on there, Les, because you're right. The elephant in the room is Adrian Newey, and give him 2 years to sort out any inadequacies with that Red Bull, because that's effectively what you're saying when the new rules don't come in till 22. Give him two excellent drivers, one a young buck and the other a steady hand of different teams, including McLaren, including Racing Point in Perez. And yeah, if I were Mercedes, I would be worried.
Yeah, I think for the first time ever, you could say that, because you've had no support from Albon. Look, he was the nicest guy in the world when we talked to him in the paddock and everything, and he was fast coming into F1, but he just has not gotten the job done for sure. But
yeah, his Toro Rosso days, to me, honestly, were probably better than the Red Bull days.
Yeah. Well, Les,
I felt like he showed better back then.
Well, what about that? What about Perez as a teammate to Verstappen? Number one, I want you, first of all, you're not going to have the same pressure. I mean, let me rephrase that. So Max has had all these young drivers beside him ever since Ricardo, right? He's had all these young drivers, and no one's even been close. But Perez, I guarantee you, he may not be quite as fast as Max. Who knows? Maybe he is. This will be really fun to watch this. But he's not going to feel
that. Don't forget, Christian Horner and he have worked together before.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hey, Jonathan, why don't you set up this clip a little bit with Gunther? You cut it up for me and set this up and, like, when we got it and what he's about to talk about.
About Mazepam?
Yeah. Well, the long clip. Yeah, it's got Mazepam and everything else in it.
The long clip, yes. Yeah. Well, basically, we got Gunther on at a time. Well, obviously, we actually got him on.
Oh, we got in trouble with Jonathan's mic on Zoom.
But the second half of the interview with him, we talked to him about the decision to both pick Schumacher and Mazepin. And he was very honest, and we got the real inside story, which was it was Gunther's idea, and he sold it basically to Gene Haas to do something different. And he said, you know, even in the time of Dave O'Neill, you know, they, if you remember back when they chose Grosjean, when they chose Magnussen the second year, you know, they've always been a little bit quirky, and Gunther's big part of that, and I think we've seen that in Drive to Survive. So I put it straight to him, you know, why, you know, what was the choice in having those two young drivers?
All right, hold on. Man, this new COVID age of technology, trying to get Zoom and everything else going. All right, we got the clip ready. Let's go.
Gunther, I got a question, and I guess it's too early to be definitive on it, but you in another interview with Sky were talking about how you and Gene are now looking to spread out and look for sponsorship and look to kind of, you know, bolster the money you can spend. The move with Nikita, obviously he's a good driver, but he obviously comes from a wealthy background. Could you see an opportunity for Dimitri to get involved the same way that Lawrence Stroll did in Formula One with Gene?
No, not at the moment. G decided a few months ago when we re-signed the commercial agreement that he wants to keep the F1 team. So I think at the moment, Gene is pretty happy with how we are conducting business and how we do it. What he's not happy with, obviously, is our performance. But we will get that one back, to be honest. We worked hard on it. We got a little bit put back last year. Our car wasn't good enough. This year, we have got the pandemic, the engine is not the strongest one, we stopped development, so we know why we are where we are. It doesn't mean that we can get it fixed quick, but my aim is to fix it for 22, to be back to a form better or similar to 2018. So, but in the moment, Gene wants to keep the team to himself.
And just to explain, John, what I meant by that, Dmitry Mazepin is a wealthy businessman from Russia. And I wondered if the model was similar to what Lance Stroll did, which was his son, Lawrence Stroll did with Lance. And obviously, mm-hmm. Lance was at Williams, and the pair of them went lock, stock and barrel, effectively, to Racing Point. He bought the team and put his son in there. They had Perez there, and now they'll have Vettel. So the model I was alluding to was... Could Dmitry Mazepin play a similar role with Gene Haas? And I think the answer was clear.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I want to play one more Gunther clip. And this one goes into the full, you know, all the talking about all the young drivers and how they end up with a lot of these decisions. So here's Gunther Steiner again.
Yeah, they are children, you know. They could be my children. You know, they are early 20s, so... I think this year when it was like, what are we going to do, how we go forward, how is Haas F1 going forward, at some stage it came to me that we need to make a change. We cannot keep on doing always the same, doing more of the same, you know, just get a little bit of refreshing into it. And also financially, you know, where do you put your efforts and your resources, you know, financially and people-wise. So I came up with the idea, you know, we should change drivers, maybe go to two young drivers, because next year will be a transitional year, because next year the cars from this year will be reused because of the pandemic. There was we had shutdowns, and we didn't want to develop new cars for financial reason and timing-wise reason. So I think next year is a good year to make that transition. And if you want two new drivers, I was in the opinion that we should get them now, so they are ready for 22 when the new regulations come out. And at that stage, said, "Hey, we have been always said we want experience. You know, we are known to do things sometimes a little bit different." And Dave was part of that one as well. And they're all surprised, you know, the people which are in it along, why you do not more of the same like everybody else. You know, sometimes you have to experiment a little bit, and that is what we like to do. So I went to Gene with the idea. I said, "Hey, Gene, how about if we go forward a different way, you know?" And for sure, you know, Gene likes his stability and everything. So it was, I wouldn't say skeptical, but a little bit, it took him some time. And I explained him the pros, and I explained him also the cons, because there is also things which can go wrong. And we know that there is a risk with anything you change. And then we decided, let's do it. And then we looked at Formula 2, and see who is good. Formula 2 this year, it's a very competitive year. It's not as competitive this year. There are a lot of good drivers there. We looked them up, and I spoke with a few of them, and Nikita has got some sponsors behind him. Then I went to speak with Ferrari about who they had, because they have 5 drivers this year in Formula 2. Almost a quarter of the field is theirs. And then we start to look at who is the best, or who should make the next step, because it's not only being the best, who is the most mature as well. And I think it was going back and forward a little bit, and then they decided it was Schumacher. And I mean, obviously, he's leading the F2 championship, and he carries a name which in Formula 1 is legendary, you know. So there is no negatives. He seems to be fast, for sure. He needs to show it in an F1 car. But his determination, I never worked with, I was never privileged to work with his father. I knew his father not very well, I must admit. But everybody who worked with him still thinks praises about him. I think his work ethic is very similar to his father. He's very focused. He wants to be here. He doesn't want to be here because he's Schumacher. He wants to be here to win championships and be the best. You know, that is a thing which I like with him. And Nikita as well wants to show to the world that he's here for the right reason, you know. So I think we will have some good moments, some bad moments, like you always have with children, you know. So there will be highs and lows, but we will navigate through that one and actually look really forward to it, and especially after having had Pietro Fittipaldi in the car today to replace Romain. It is like work with a young driver. I mean, just see how they develop and how switched on they are these days. It's quite amazing. It's like, I mean, Pietro wasn't in a race car for a year now, never mind an F1 car, and how quick they pick it up. It's quite amazing, you know. It is astonishing to me. I mean, we have done just 2-3 practices, to be honest, but I think he's in a good path, you know, so I'm not afraid of the challenge.
Yeah. Hey, Jonathan, you know, what do you think about this, you know, these drivers? You know, you don't really get a chance in F1 to walk in without the weight of the team on you a lot of times.
Well, to be honest, that I think is the most exciting part. If we've delved into why, but think about it from the driver's point of view, like you say, you know, once you get to Formula One, look at Yuki Tsunoda. He's the other one we're going to talk about in a moment, but, and look at Lance Stroll's first year. I mean, you know, you don't get a lot of time. And, of course, Albon, you know, and then what's happened to Kvyat and Gasly in the past. So, you know, get many second chances in Formula One. And the fact that they both got a year with some help and some tutelage from Magnussen and no expectations because of 2022, because they know the car is not that great and they're not going to move it forward dramatically, I really think it's a huge opportunity for both drivers to you know, wet their feet and you know, get comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Come in, no pressure. It's unheard of, really, in Formula One to come in with almost no pressure, because especially as a young driver stepping up like this, it's really, really crazy. You know, we haven't even talked about tonight. I know, because it's not really been a big surprise. It feels like we've known about it forever. But of course, Checo Perez going to Red Bull and Albon's. You know, that's the thing. Albon is as a reserve. I mean, I guess what would you do? What would you do if you were Albon? I mean, I guess your obvious thing is to stay where you are, and you know. But if you had opportunities, would you jump, Jonathan?
If I were Albon, I'd be on the phone to Gunther saying I'm a better option than Mazepin or some other team.
There you go. What do you think, Les?
I'm kidding. I'm calling Gunther.
Yeah. Well, look at that experience. I mean, you know, what Albon's such a nice guy, as we've all met him. He's a lovely guy, and Mick could do with some help. He's got Red Bull's knowledge behind him. He's going to be a reserve driver for Red Bull. But it's almost a path to nowhere, because, you know, there's a whole bunch of Red Bull juniors coming up through Formula 2. You know, Liam Lawson, I've mentioned before, Yuki Tsunoda, you know, is another Red Bull junior, you know, and then you've got the drivers for AlphaTauri as well. So it's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned, John, about a season without judgment for drivers. You're right. No such thing. But you think about it. This is either a chance that nobody's expecting anybody to do any good with all these car changes, owner changes, team changes, personnel amongst the team, not just the driver. But then the ones that are going to hit it and knock it out of the park are going to just be rock stars. And, you know, there's one that always adapts really well, and that's Adrian Newey. I got to say, Checo going to Red Bull to be near Christian and Adrian is kind of the weapon that I think a lot of people aren't thinking about. That combination is so good at a time of change. Now that these are people changing. I mean, yes, we've got some rules that are changing. I mean, aerodynamics and things like that, but, you know, aero changes, there's going to be less downforce. They were trying to reduce, FIA was trying to reduce downforce by 10%. to increase the life of the tires, to make things a little more edgy, all of that kind of thing. Nui is the guy that I'd want on my side of the table when we start looking at screwing with aero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you're spot on there, Les, because you're right. The elephant in the room is Adrian Newey, and give him 2 years to sort out any inadequacies with that Red Bull, because that's effectively what you're saying when the new rules don't come in till 22. Give him two excellent drivers, one a young buck and the other a steady hand of different teams, including McLaren, including Racing Point in Perez. And yeah, if I were Mercedes, I would be worried.
Yeah. I think for the first time ever, you could say that, because you've had no support from Albon. Look, he was the nicest guy in the world when we talked to him in the paddock and everything, and he was fast coming into F1, but he just has not gotten the job done for sure. But
yeah, his Toro Rosso days, to me, honestly, were probably better than the Red Bull days.
Yeah. Well, Les,
I felt like he showed better back then.
Well, what about that? What about Perez as a teammate to Verstappen? Number one, I want you, first of all, you're not going to have the same pressure. I mean, let me rephrase that. So Max has had all these young drivers beside him ever since Ricardo, right? He's had all these young drivers and no one's even been close. But Perez, I guarantee you, he may not be quite as fast as Max. Who knows? Maybe he is. This will be really fun to watch this. But he's not going to feel
that. Don't forget, Christian Horner and he have worked together before in GP3 or GP2, I think. So they've actually worked together as team manager and driver before. And so, you know, and Perez is a popular figure, as we saw in his conclusion and win with Racing Point at the end of the season. So clearly, you know, Verstappen's going to have his work cut out to stay on top of things next year.
I can't wait to see the first lap times with Perez versus Verstappen to see, you know, we've been wanting this for a long time now. You know, it's funny because we know Max has gotten a lot better since he was partnered with Ricardo, but this is going to be really fun. Well, guys, we're up against a break. We got lots more good clips. We got the clip from Yuki Tsunoda, excuse me. And we want to play that, but we got lots more to talk about. You're listening to Speed City live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
In my head.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there's...
Hello, I'm Jenny Gow from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We should have just kept the mics going, man, because we just continued on with this Sergio Perez. I want to keep going with it a little bit because it is going to be a really fascinating story next year. And we were just talking about how, you know, he's not going to get rattled. What'd you say, Les? He's not flappable. And Jonathan, we were talking about the, could it turn into an argument with Max? Could they not get along, you know?
Well, and remember, Perez's 10 million, I don't think, is going away. So he is, you could argue, an investor now in the Red Bull future. And in his 30s, he's not going to be going anywhere else. And he said, you know, that he didn't want another drive. He didn't want to go to Haas. He wanted to be part of a project that he could invest in and you know, stick his, get his teeth stuck into. And I think this probably will be his big last hurrah. He's so popular in Mexico. The Mexico Grand Prix goes from strength to strength. He's popular here with the Hispanic fans here in Austin. You know, I mean, there's a lot. And yet his teammate is probably the most popular driver in the world with the Dutch fans that follow him. So, yeah, it's interesting. But Checo's no fool, and he's like Alonso. He's a good politician when it comes to Formula One.
So what I said during our break in our off-mic conversation was Checo is unflappable. I don't think he's going to be rattled by Max doing what Max does. There's probably going to be one or two close calls early in the season, and Max going to figure out that doesn't work with Checo. And now we just got to go straight up racing.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, we haven't seen anybody within the Red Bull team challenge Max Verstappen for out and out pace in 4 years.
That's true.
He won his first Grand Prix, remember? He became a golden boy overnight.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, I want to play this clip from that. Jonathan, why don't you set this up again? Because this is one that you got when back in the Toyota Racing Series.
Yeah, I'm just aware that maybe people don't know Yuki Tsunoda, and he's a great kid. He's still very young. He hasn't, changed the world, but certainly when he came down in January this year down to New Zealand, he went head-to-head with another Red Bull junior in Liam Lawson, who'd already won the title the year before. So it was a really... it was a really good opportunity for him to show what he had. And he just was a runner up by a very small margin. And it was a great battle between them. But in this interview, you get an idea of who he is. His English is great. He's a likable guy. And I think he's going to be popular in Formula One. And I think he's going to get up to speed real quick. 19-year-old Yuki Tsunoda of Japan is definitely on the fast track to F1. Already a Honda Dream Program member and also a member of the Red Bull Junior team, he's here in New Zealand preparing for his first season in F2 with Carlin Motorsport.
Yeah, everything was first time last year. First time I live by myself, and also first time in Europe, and different language, and everything was first time. Honda, they helped me a lot, well, sponsoring a lot to racing Formula 2. Also Red Bull, helped me in the simulator, or they got a lot of experience. There's a quite different type of track, and I learned a lot of banking, how to use the banking especially. That was my weakest point for these 5 weeks. And also, we needed constantly to be the first in the championships, and I learned a lot of that. And also, everything is the same. Car is same, engine is same, so it's really competitive, and you have to work hard to be first, and also to be constantly in the results. So I really recommend to the young junior driver to come here to race.
Man, I am so excited about having this young kid in the sport. I don't know why. I'm just, and for one, thank you for finding this clip. There's hardly been any interviews with this young guy that I've seen.
Yeah, and I think also the fact that he's spent time with Carlin, a great team, and he's been in England. You can hear his English is good. He's been to New Zealand. You know, he is the weakness, the Achilles heel of all Japanese drivers over the years has been leaving Japan. They're fastest, scintillatingly fast in Japan, but they don't travel very well. This guy is part of the Red Bull team. He gets it. He's a friend. He's been around. He's popular. He's now done F2. In Europe, and he's been around the paddock. He knows the people he's doing interviews with, like Will Buxton. Like I said, he's not going to be intimidated because he comes with Honda money. You talk about, Verstappen and Perez. Well, if either falter, Yuki's ready he really is. You talk about pressure. He's got the whole of Honda behind him, and he is the reason why Christian Horner is keeping his Honda engine come through 2022, and I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, and that's going to be – I'd love to, think about the way that just having him from Japan coming into the sport with Honda, I mean, it's really interesting. So thinking about how that could be. So Hey, guys, I want to ask each one of you. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, so I want to ask each one of you. I'm going to start with you, Jonathan. I want to ask you, what do you think the 2020 F1 season is going to be remembered for? Obvious, besides the obvious of COVID, but there's so many great stories. You know, there's just an unbelievable. There's, you know, the giant crash with Grosjean and all that. But what do you think the season is going to be remembered for?
You know what? I know it's going to sound corny, but there's no question that the biggest stat thing that will be remembered in the history of Formula One in 2020, and it counts back to Alex Wurz and back to that press conference that we were in 2013, the halo. The halo, the halo, the halo. It saved Romain Grosjean's life, and it also saved Liberty what would have been a catastrophe in an already tragic year. But without that halo, we could have lost a driver this year. And I have to say, I don't think anything stands out more for me.
Wow, that was pretty good, considering I did not prep you for that question. And I completely, I haven't really thought it all the way through, but that is a really great argument. There's not much else that you could say is more, because there was more than one occasion. Hell, there was in that same race. Remember, the Stroll was upside down. Now, that was slow speed, but maybe not,
Grosjean,
you know?
Said, you know? Yeah, even Grosjean said he was not a fan of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was controversial when we were in that press conference with Alex Wurz back in 2014, and they presented that miniature model with the halo, remember?
Right here in Austin,
and
yeah.
We were all like, oh, you know, is it going to be any good? And hey.
I know, we were definitely towing the company line, at least, because I really wasn't sure how I felt about it. I was like, well, it's dirt. I knew that the argument was that I know it's going to be safe, right? It's going to help safety. I didn't know how much, but man, that just proved it. And like you said, Grosjean was against it. Lots of people and drivers were against it. So yeah. What about you, Les? Yeah. 2020 season, what's it going to be remembered for?
You know, same incident, but a different perspective. The fire, the visual impact of that, and then to see Grosjean get up and get out of it with quite honestly minimal injuries. And then I love the investigation that was going into it, and they were looking at the materials and everything that was involved in protecting him beyond the halo. I love the technology that they're investigating. Gene alluded that FIA was in control of the car and collecting lots of information and data about that. But the visual image, I think we all gasped when we saw that and thought we knew the end of it already, and so thankful we didn't.
Yeah. You know, I'll take a little bit of a tangent, but a little bit of what you were saying, Jonathan. I think this, what I'm going to think of 2024 is Liberty Media, because think of what they did. They got thrown a curveball like everybody else, and so maybe they stumbled out of the gate a little bit because they almost ran the Australian Grand Prix, right? But the way they recovered and made it, and really a very memorable season, tons of great racing. We got 17 races at lots of cool racetracks. I think that you got to give Liberty Media huge credit for the way they handled the 2020 season. And, you know, makes me proud that this American company is keeping Formula One what it has been and keeping the history in it, but moving forward. So I think that's what, to me, 2021 really boils down to, is how good a job Liberty Media did.
And if somebody's just posted on Facebook, what about Hasegawa from Honda? Do you remember 4 years ago when McLaren couldn't handle the Honda and it was Alonso saying it was the worse than a GP2 engine? Ha!
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Speaking of McLaren, Zach Brown may be my F1 CEO of the year, man. He did not have the third fastest car and ended up in third position. So kudos.
Put Andreas Seidel in there as well.
Yeah. Well, guys, we are out of time. We want to thank everybody for all of this year. We had some amazing guests all year long. It was a fantastic year in Formula One. We're looking for another good year of Formula One. And, of course, we will be back every Sunday night until the Formula One season. I think next weekend we'll probably have a replay of this show. But other than that, we'll be back in the studio and ready to go. So thanks, everybody. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Happy Holidays to everybody.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there's...
Hello, I'm Jenny Gow from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We should have just kept the mics going, man, because we just continued on with this Sergio Perez. I want to keep going with it a little bit because it is going to be a really fascinating story next year. And we were just talking about how, you know, he's not going to get rattled. What'd you say, Les? He's not flappable. And Jonathan, we were talking about the, could it turn into an argument with Max? Could they not get along, you know?
Well, and remember, Perez's $10 million, I don't think, is going away. So he is, you could argue, an investor now in the Red Bull future. And in his 30s, he's not going to be going anywhere else. And he said, you know, that he didn't want another drive. He didn't want to go to Haas. He wanted to be part of a project that he could invest in and you know, stick his, get his teeth stuck into. And I think this probably will be his big last hurrah. He's so popular in Mexico. The Mexico Grand Prix goes from strength to strength. He's popular here with the Hispanic fans here in Austin. You know, I mean, there's a lot. And yet his teammate is probably the most popular driver in the world with the Dutch fans that follow him. So, yeah, it's interesting. But Checo's no fool, and he's like Alonso. He's a good politician when it comes to Formula One.
So what I said during our break and our off-mic conversation was Checo is unflappable. I don't think he's going to be rattled by Max doing what Max does. There's probably going to be one or two close calls early in the season, and Max is going to figure out that doesn't work with Checo. And now we just got to go straight up racing.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, we haven't seen anybody within the Red Bull team challenge Max Verstappen for out and out pace in 4 years.
That's true.
He won his first Grand Prix, remember? He became a golden boy overnight.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, I want to play this clip from that. Jonathan, why don't you set this up again? Because this is one that you got one back in the Toyota Racing Series.
Yeah, I'm just aware that maybe people don't know Yuki Tsunoda, and he's a great kid. He's still very young. He hasn't, you know, changed the world, but certainly when he came down in January this year down to New Zealand, he went head to head with another Red Bull junior in Liam Lawson, who'd already won the title the year before. So it was a really good opportunity for him to show what he had. And he just was a runner up by a very small margin. And it was a great battle between them. But yeah, in this interview, you get an idea of who he is. His English is great. He's a likable guy. And I think he's going to be popular in Formula One. And I think he's going to get up to speed real quick. 19-year-old Yuki Tsunoda of Japan is definitely on the fast track to F1. Already a Honda Dream Program member and also a member of the Red Bull Junior team, he's here in New Zealand preparing for his first season in F2 with Carlin Motorsport.
Yeah, everything was first time last year. First time I live by myself, and also first time in Europe, and different language, and everything was first time. Honda, they helped me a lot, well, sponsoring a lot to racing Formula 2. Also Red Bull helped me in the simulator, or they got a lot of experience. There's a quite different type of track, and I learned a lot of banking, how to use the banking especially. That was my weakest point for these 5 weeks. And also, we needed constantly to be the first in the championships, and I learned a lot of that. And also, everything is the same, car is same, engine is same, so it's really competitive, and you have to work hard to be first, and also to be constantly in the results. So I really recommend to the young junior driver to come here to race.
Man, I am so excited about having this young kid in the sport. I don't know why. I'm just, you know, and for one, thank you for finding this clip. There's hardly been any interviews with this young guy that I've seen.
Yeah, and I think also the fact that he's spent time with Carlin, a great team, and he's been in England. You can hear his English is good. He's been to New Zealand. You know, he is the weakness, the Achilles heel of all Japanese drivers over the years has been leaving Japan. They're fastest, scintillatingly fast in Japan, but they don't travel very well. This guy is part of the Red Bull team. He gets it. He's a friend. He's been around. He's popular. He's now done F2. In Europe, and he's been around the paddock. You know, he knows the people he's doing interviews with, like Will Buxton. And you know, like I said, he's not going to be intimidated because he comes with Honda money. You talk about, you know, Verstappen and Perez. Well, if either falter, Yuki's ready because, you know, I mean, he really is. You talk about pressure. He's got the whole of Honda behind him, and he is the reason why Christian Horner is keeping his Honda engine come through 2022, and I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, and that's going to be, I'd love to, you know, think about the way that just having him from Japan coming back, coming into the sport, with Honda. I mean, it's really interesting. So thinking about how that could be. So, hey, guys, I want to ask each one of you. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show. So I want to ask each one of you. I'm going to start with you, Jonathan. I want to ask you, what do you think the 2020 F1 season is going to be remembered for? Obvious, besides the obvious of COVID, but there's so many great stories. You know, there's just an unbelievable. There's, you know, the giant crash with Grosjean and all that. But what do you think the season is going to be remembered for?
You know what? I know it's going to sound corny, but there's no question that the biggest stat thing that will be remembered in the history of Formula One in 2020. And it counts back to Alex Wurz and back to that press conference that we were in 2013, the halo, the halo, the halo, the halo. It saved Romain Grosjean's life, and it also saved Liberty what would have been a catastrophe in an already tragic year. But without that halo, we could have lost a driver this year. And I have to say, I don't think anything stands out more for me.
Wow, that was pretty good, considering I did not prep you for that question, and I completely I haven't really thought it all the way through, but that is a really great argument. There's not much else that you could say is more, because there was more than one occasion. Hell, there was in that same race. Remember, the Stroll was upside down. Now, that was slow speed, but maybe not,
Grosjean,
you know?
Said, you know, yeah, even Grosjean said he was not a fan
of
it.
Oh, yeah.
And it controversial when we were in that press conference with Alex Wurz back in 2014, and they presented that miniature yep. model with the halo, remember,
right here in Austin,
and
yeah,
we were all like, oh, you know, is it going to be any good? And hey,
I know we were definitely toeing the company line, at least, because I really wasn't sure how I felt about it. I was like, well, it's dirt. I knew that the argument was that I know it's going to be safe, right? It's going to help safety. I didn't know how much. But man, that just proved it. And like you said, Grosjean was against it. Lots of people and drivers were against it. So yeah. What about you, Les? Yeah. 2020 season, what's it going to be remembered for?
You know, same incident, but a different perspective. The fire, the visual impact of that, and then to see Grosjean get up and get out of it with, quite honestly, minimal injuries. And then I love the investigation that was going into it, and they were looking at the materials and everything that was involved in protecting him beyond the halo. I love the technology that they're investigating. Gene alluded that FIA was in control of the car and collecting lots of information and data about that. But the visual image, I think we all gasped when we saw that and thought we knew the end of it already, and so thankful we didn't.
Yeah. You know, I'll take a little bit of a tangent, but a little bit of what you were saying, Jonathan. I think this, what I'm going to think of 2024 is Liberty Media, because think of what they did. They got thrown a curveball like everybody else, and maybe they stumbled out of the gate a little bit because they almost ran the Australian Grand Prix, right? But the way they recovered and made it, and really a very memorable season. Tons of great racing. We got 17 races at lots of cool racetracks. I think that you got to give Liberty Media huge credit for the way they handled the 2020 season. And, you know, makes me proud that this American company is keeping Formula One what it has been and keeping the history in it, but moving forward. So I think that's what, to me, 2021 really boils down to is how good a job Liberty Media did.
And if somebody's just posted on Facebook, what about Hasegawa from Honda? Do you remember 4 years ago when McLaren couldn't handle the Honda and it was Alonso saying it was the worse than a GP2 engine? Ha!
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Speaking of McLaren, Zach Brown may be my F1 CEO of the year, man. He did not have the third fastest car and ended up in third position. So, kudos.
Put Andreas Seidel in there as well.
Yeah. Well, guys, we are out of time. We want to thank everybody for all of this year. We had some amazing guests all year long. It was a fantastic year in Formula One. We're looking for another good year of Formula One. And, of course, we will be back every Sunday night until the Formula One season. I think next weekend we'll probably have a replay of this show, but But other than that, we'll be back in the studio and ready to go. So thanks, everybody. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Happy Holidays to everybody.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy Holidays.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today.